Matthew chapter 20, starting at verse number 20. It says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor of him. 'What is it you want?' he asked. She said, 'Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your kingdom.' 'You don't know what you are asking,' Jesus said to them. 'Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?' 'We can,' they answered. Jesus said to them, 'You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father.' When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." We continue to discuss items, topics regarding our mission as a church and as a part of God's redemptive plan for this planet. Now God is determined to restore what was broken. He wants to fix it up. He wants to restore it to its original brilliance, and he is using you and me as the body of Christ in his restorative or redemptive plan. We are his handiwork. It is my hope that we can come to an understanding of fusion, joining God in the neighborhood. God is already working, and he is calling us out of our comfort, out of what is familiar, out of what is safe, and he has called us to engage our community around us, which is constantly growing, which is constantly changing. Now, change in our community and change in the world is not a reason for us to disengage, which has been the choice of some. You know, it's just too fast paced, it's too changed, it's just not like it was when I was growing up, just not like it was in the old days. And so some people have just disengaged. Jesus calls us to go out into this world and to make disciples, whether the world stays the same or changes, whether it gets more hectic or stays more calm, whether it gets more immoral or stays the same as it was back in the 30s or 40s or 50s. We have been called to engage this community whether it changes or not. It may mean that the way that we engage our community, the ways that we do that may be different. It may be that we need to change the way that we have typically engaged the community. This we know. There is a sense of disorder and brokenness that exists right in front of us. We see it every day and we talk about it all the time. We lament over the destructive ways that people handle situations. Our hearts are broken when we see the way people are affected by the various outcomes in our society. You can't watch the TV without hearing about stories about violence, domestic violence, charges of child abuse. In our community, I know that what's taken the top space in our community right now is the teacher's strike and the chaos that has ensued. And I know that on the TV, you saw students in the hallways fighting. I want y'all to understand that there's students always fighting in the hallways. It didn't just start because of the strike. You know, kids say, "You know what I'm gonna do today because of the strike? Let's fight." That's not how they come to that. It happens all the time. It just so happens that now it's under the microscope, and that's what we see on TV. I know that takes top place, and I want us to continue to be mindful of that, continue to be in prayer for our community, because as we're seeing, as this thing unfolds, is that where there is a sense of unity amongst some, it's a sense of divisiveness in this community, and that was a prayer, meditation, and challenge for last week, is that we, you know, pray for some calm and some order in our community. But one of the other stories that has been prominent, and it becomes prominent because we are a smaller community of Reynoldsburg, is that got word that there was a naval reservist that was killed in Afghanistan last week. And I don't know all the particulars. I know that there was a suicide bomber and he lost his life. And so now we have right here in Reynoldsburg, a mother and children who are now put into a place where they have to put pieces together because of the brokenness that is this world. That's what's going on. This is real stuff. This isn't just stuff we read about. We have kids in here that know the kids that lost their father. This is real. And this is the situations that go on all around us. And so as a church, we need to be asking questions like, what can we do? Or how can we help? If we're starting from a place of declaration that God is already doing something in our neighborhood, we need to be asking, how can we join God in what he is already doing? If Jesus was walking around our neighborhood in the flesh, how do we imagine people would respond to him? Would people flock to him the way people flock to him in the stories that we read in the Gospels? In the story we just read, there was a concerned mother that came to Jesus. Now, we could spend a great deal of time dissecting this woman's request, trying to expose her true motives or the motives of her sons who may have put her up to it. You know, some sons may say, hey, mama, I know we in with Jesus, but man, if you go do this for us, man, he gonna listen to you. That may have happened, and we don't have the time to dissect or try to journey in that direction. I want us to see that this was a mother who had some sort of concern, who had some sort of heart, who had some sort of love for her children. Her children were close companions of Jesus, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They, if you recall, were ones that were fishermen, and they left their family business of fishermen. One day Jesus called them and said, hey guys, come follow me. And it's the text says they dropped everything. They dropped their nets. They told people, hey, take care of dad, but we about to be out. We're about to leave. And they followed Jesus, and they become apostles. They had sacrificed and left what was comfortable to them to follow Jesus. They knew what it was like to be on mission, this missional stuff that we've been talking about. They actually did it. And their mother comes to Jesus with a request. And again, we could sit here and dissect her request, but we should take her for her request that she loves her children. She wants what's best for her children. She wants her children to succeed. She wants her children to do big things and to go to big places. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Some of us in here who have kids, we want big things for our kids, right? We want our kids to be successful, right? We want them to, you know, when they grow up to meet the right person and not the wrong person, right? We want them to go to college and get a good education, right? We want them to get a high paying job. You know, we want them to make, you know, $8-$9 an hour or whatever is big money nowadays. We want them to succeed. There's nothing wrong with this mother's request of wanting her kids to succeed. She could have went to some other places. She could have employed some destructive and unhealthy plans. But she came to Jesus. And look how Jesus responds to her when she comes. Jesus says to her, and I love these words, it's some of the most beautiful and most powerful words in all of Scripture. Jesus looks at this woman and says, "What do you want? What do you want?" What if Jesus was standing right here in front of you right now? I want you to take a moment. I mean, just imagine. Jesus is standing right in front of you. With you having a good understanding of who he is and what he can do and what he has done, do you hear him looking at you and saying, "What do you want?" How would you answer that, or how would you respond to that? I mean, take a moment. Don't rush to it. You know, don't try to get holified in here and say, "Oh, let me make sure I ask for the right things." He says to you, "What do you want?" This is a blank check, church. How do you respond? For some of you, your request would go directly to issues regarding your children. "Jesus, protect my children. Keep them safe. Allow them to grow up and be productive citizens in this world." For some of you, it might be something regarding this church. "Jesus, grow this church. Make this church a big church that has big influence, that does big things in this community." For some of you, it may be something regarding your health. "Jesus, take this cancer away. Take the cancer away from my husband or from my child." For some of you, it may be regarding mental tiredness. "Jesus, I am stressed out. I'm stressed out at home. I'm stressed out at work. Jesus, take this stress away. I tried Calgon, it didn't work." For some of you, it could be some other relationship issue. It could be the situation between you and your spouse. It could be a situation between you and your kids. It could be about a bill that you can't pay, or a bill you've been paying on, but it doesn't seem to go down. It just stays the same. You ever felt worried or concerned or uptight or uneasy? Have you ever struggled, had doubts, or have hurts? I want you to connect with that. I want you to see that. I want you to feel that. You need to know what that feels like, because there are people in this neighborhood who feel exactly the way that you do. People in the church aren't the only ones that embody these feelings. These are universal feelings. And it is my belief that as Jesus stood in front of this mother and said, "What do you want?" or "Can I help?" the same needs to be offered as the community has those same feelings and needs. And joining God in the neighborhood may be through the simple act of asking the community, "What do you want?" or "How can we help?" Born out of the answer and response Jesus gave to this mother and her sons, for all the other apostles to overhear this interaction, is one of the defining characters of the body of Christ. What does this mother want? She wanted for her sons to be great. She wanted a path to greatness, which meant for her in that setting, for her two sons to be right next to Jesus, one on his right hand and the other on his left hand. And that was a symbol, that was a sign that you had achieved greatness. That meant that, yeah, we were a family of fishermen, but now my boys are great because they're standing next to the king. They're standing next to the king. And so Jesus actually gave her what she wanted. She wanted a path to greatness, and so Jesus actually gave her what she wanted. He said, if you want to be great, become a servant. You want to become first, become last. You want to become important, you want to have some significance, do something for other people. Just like it is our call to go out, it is also our call to serve in the likeness of Jesus. Of himself, Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life even for many. The remarkable story of Jesus has been captured and retold in so many ways. In the letter to the Philippians, Paul writes this about Jesus. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. The Greek word there for servant is the word for slave. Jesus took on the nature of a servant or a slave, and thus he lived in flesh among us in our neighborhood. We are his disciples. We are called to be just like him. So our nature as a church and as individuals need to be that of a servant. So what do you know about being a servant? We know plenty about being a servant, especially when it's not a good servant. We've been to a restaurant, and how many people have been to a restaurant and you received bad service? They didn't keep the glass filled up. They gave you some iced tea with no ice. I can't stand that, church. If I want a glass of hot tea, I say, can I get a glass of hot tea? So when I ask for iced tea, it would help to have some ice in the glass. But a good servant, a good waitress, a good waiter, make sure that the iced tea is not just brown water, but it's actually tea and it has ice in it. And they make sure that you have sweeteners. They make sure that you have lemons. They make sure that it's good. If it doesn't smell right, that don't smell right. Y'all need to brew me. That's what good servants do. But bad servants don't care. Bad servants watch you choke on a pork chop and not get you another glass of water. Good servants, it's what I see every time I go into Home Depot. I go into Home Depot, and I don't know if they just have class 101 on servants or on good service every day, because I've never received, now some of y'all might have received bad service from Home Depot. I guarantee that's the exception and not the rule. Every time I go into Home Depot, I feel like I'm the only one shopping there and that they pay attention to me. Now somebody said that's because when I walk in, I look like I don't know what I'm doing. Like, we need to go help that brother right now. That may be the case, but that's good service. And church, that needs to be our nature. When people hear stories about the church, they don't need to hear about the chaos. They don't need to hear about the controversies. They need to know that we help. They need to know that we serve, because that's just what we do. We pay attention to needs. We jump into action. And we meet those needs. So what does our community need? Isn't that just a good question? It's a basic question, but it's a good question to start with. Well, we're at this church. We are at this church at this moment and at this time prepared to ask those questions. And not just amongst ourselves, but out in the community. And that's why it's important for us to get outside of these walls and to engage with our community, so we can ask people, what do you want? What do you need? How can I help you? This is why it's important that we move and not stay stagnant. This is why we need not to be ashamed to ask people what they need or what we can do to help. In many ways, we are like the mother of James and John, and in many ways, we are like the characters in the following story, starting at verse number 29 of Matthew 20. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them, and hear Jesus say it once again, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," they answer, "we want our sight." The text says Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. In many ways, we are like the blind men. We are asking for sight. We are asking for direction. We are asking God to show us where we can help. Church, coming to God is the first step. Coming to God and asking him to give us sight so we can see. But that's not the only step. When we go out, having asked God to open our eyes to see that there are people who have needs, we need to ask God also to open our ears to hear and to listen to what people in our community are saying. And then we ask God, after opening our eyes and opening our ears, for him to open our hearts, to look at each other in the body with voices united to respond with, "We will help." We will serve because serving is what we do. Now, church, if we do that, we ask God to open our eyes and open our ears and to open our hearts. I mean, in that story with the blind man, it says that Jesus looked upon them with compassion. That's opening your heart. That's understanding that there is something that needs to be done. And if God has so equipped us and blessed us, we will help. The trajectory of the church, if we allow God to open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, the trajectory of the church is that we are becoming a church that is now listening. We are listening to God. We are listening to one another. We are listening to the community. And the invitation is open for everyone here to participate in seeing, in listening, and in responding. And so then, open our eyes, open our ears, and open our hearts. This is serious, church. It's exciting. It's exciting, but this is serious, that we move from a place of just words and talk, but we jump into action and start meeting needs in this community. But we've got to get out of here and we've got to start doing things. Hey, here's some things that we can do. Some of you are in the habit of walking in your community, and not everyone here lives in Reynoldsburg. I get that. But if you're in the habit of just walking around your community, how many people do that just on a regular basis, just take a walk in your neighborhood? I want you to continue to do those walks because it's a healthy thing to do, number one. But two, I want you to add something as you're walking. I want you to start praying to God as you're walking. Now, again, when I talk about prayer, prayer isn't just about you talking to God. It's also about you listening to God talking. And so as you're walking past houses, as you're walking past people, I want you to be in active prayer to God, to raise the antennas of your heart, of your eyes, of your ears, to hear and to listen and to feel what your community needs. If you have time during this week, I want you to come to Reynoldsburg. I don't know, park at the City Hall downtown, park in the park, JFK Park. I want you to park your car there. I want you to get out your car, and I just want you to walk around the park or walk around the town and just pray and talk to God and listen to God and ask him to raise your antennas. You know, God, let us see and hear what people need. When we do that, we will be joining God in the neighborhood. Let me talk about Evelyn Darr for just a second. I love Evelyn Darr. Every third Friday, several years ago, Evelyn and some other ladies and another church invited me to come over to Seton Square where she lives. That's her hood. Can I say that in church? Seton Square is Evelyn's hood, all right? And Evelyn is a firecracker. I mean, y'all know her to be a passionate Ohio State Buckeye fan. She's out there on the field taking pictures with Urban Meyer. You know, I saw you flirting with her brother too. That's all right. But Evelyn's an evangelist over at Seton Square. They put together this Bible study, and every month on the third Friday, she is in her hood inviting people to come to this Bible study. But she doesn't stop there. You know, there are people there that would love to be a part of a church family, but because of health and because of transportation, they just can't make it. And so Evelyn is talking about, man, how can we bring church to them or bring them to church? And she's been praying about this, and she's been talking about this. She's done two things just recently in the past few weeks that I want you to know about. I want you to know about what your people are doing in the kingdom of God, because they're taking seriously this call to go outside. And so Evelyn, for one, there are members of that community that they just cannot get out. So this idea of you got to go to church, they would love to go to church, but they can't go to church because they can't go. Does that make sense? And so what has she done? She's been on the phone. She's been on contact with other pastors in the area, trying to get me involved, trying to get me connected, texting me phone numbers of other preachers in the area so that we can get together and rotate a basis and bring a service to the Seton Square community. Do you see someone who's listening to what her community is saying, and someone who's opened up her eyes and opened up her ears and opened up her heart, and she's doing something? And also, and there may be an opportunity for you to get involved in this. There are some folks who want to come here on a regular basis. And you know, we had a member here that looked out in the parking lot and said, man, we've got a lot of minivans. We've got a lot of minivans that has a lot of empty seats in. And guess what? It takes 2 minutes to get to Seton Square to here. And maybe there's an opportunity for some of us to just go over there and just give some folks some rides so that they can come and enjoy family time at church. Do you see how that's seeing? Do you see how that's listening? And do you see how that's responding? Church, why limit it to that? If we serve a God that is so big and so powerful and so imaginative, what would happen if we start walking around in our communities and actively praying for God to open our eyes and open our ears and open our hearts? We'll turn this world upside down. This is serious stuff, and it's exciting stuff, but we've got to go. We've got to do some things. We've got to be active. We've got to put in some sweat equity. Does that sound all right? Do you understand that it's not enough to just read and understand the Bible perfectly in and out? You memorize all the scripture you want, but let's put it into action. Amen? Let's pray. God, help us to understand that you are already active. Help us to be ones who are dedicated to being moved outside of these walls and joining you in what you're doing in the neighborhood. God, I thank you for sisters like Evelyn, who is taking very seriously your call to go, your call to listen, your call to meet needs that arise. And God, I thank you that she has invited us as her family, as her brothers and sisters, to participate with her in that mission. And God, I'm praying for brothers and sisters all throughout this place right now who have similar feelings or similar experiences. They hear your call. They're listening to their community. They're listening to needs, and they want, they have a desire to meet needs. And God, I'm praying for these conversations to happen. I'm praying for these dialogues to happen. But I'm also praying that the dialogue and the discussions doesn't stay on paper, doesn't stay on our lips, but it moves to our hands and our feet. God, for such a tumultuous time right now in our community here in Reynoldsburg, God, I know that the community needs us. And so, God, rather than bunkering in here and deciding what the community needs, God, let's just, I just pray to just move us and force us to go out to engage so that we can hear what people need. God, I'm praying for that woman out there who looks like she's an active and productive member of community, but at home she's being abused by her husband. God, I'm praying for this child that's in the home. Look like everything's okay, but that child is being sexually abused. God, I'm praying for kids who might be struggling in school to get along with folk. They don't have an identity, or they're being picked on. God, I'm praying that we will hear these needs, open our eyes, open our ears, and open our hearts. Father, create these moments of intersection. And I pray when we come to those intersections, we won't look as a participate as a bystander, but as the Spirit moves, that we would actively engage. Father, thank you for your love, and thank you for the example of Jesus, who did not come to be served, but came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Thank you for his ministry. Thank you for his blessing on our lives. And Father, I pray that as his disciples, we would seek to do everything that he did. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, again, continue to invite you to engage with each other. If you're not part of a small group, would seriously want you to consider becoming part of a small group so you can continue these conversations. If God is moving you in a particular direction, don't hold that calling to yourself. Share that, and let's discern that call in the context of community. I think there's blessing in that. If there's anything that the church can do for you, pray for you, study with you, read the Bible with you. If you've been doing those things, you want to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, you want to profess faith in Jesus, be baptized like our brother Noah did last week, we will provide that ministry for you. So come as we sing this song of the Lord's reign in our lives. Let's stand, let's sing.